setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. Coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. You've joined a conversation about you, specifically what you were born to do. We're talking about your work, because your work shouldn't be just about a job. It should be about a contribution that you really want to make. And you make that contribution with your talent. That's what you do best. You do work that you really love because you love the work itself. The craft, the task, the function, the role. And you produce a result with that work that is deeply connected to you. It's about value to you, because you see the contribution it's making, the value to others. So we're talking about working on purpose. And when you're working on purpose, I can tell you this, you're living on purpose. 844-747-2577 is the number to jump in. Wow, the voice just went away on me there. That happens from time to time. Could have been the kind bar moments before we went live. Excuse the voice crack. So we're going to help you today, as we do every day, to get clear so that you can get qualified and get connected and get started and get promoted and get that dream job so that you can give yourself away to truly work like no one else. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Well, let's talk about stage five. I just went through the seven stages just a moment ago, starting with get clear. Let's talk about stage five, get promoted. It is the stage that we will spend most of our time in. Think of it as when I get started, stage four, I'm on the ladder, and now stage five is climbing up the ladder to the dream job. And so again, I want to remind you of five qualities. We could call these soft skills, because hard skills and soft skills are kind of separated, kind of in our everyday language, that hard skills are technical in nature, where you're physically doing something, or it's like just an actual task-oriented skill, versus soft skills are more people-related skills, personal skills. And so I would throw character qualities into the mix of soft skills. And to that end, I want to give you five character qualities, soft skills, that you can improve on. If you're a one, I believe you can become a 10 in all of these. I really do. Whereas some, you know, hard skills, you're limited. If you're a four in a hard skill, it's going to be hard to be a 9 or a 10. It just is. I mean, that talent can only be honed so much. So if I'm a 3 as a singer, and maybe I'm being generous, I can work with the greatest voice coach in the world, and the best I can be is a 5, which means nobody's going to pay me to sing. So that's how that works. All right, so here we go. 5 character qualities that you can develop and become great in each of these areas, and then get promoted almost automatically, unless you're in a horrible culture. But here are the 5 qualities. Number 1, likable. Not a whole lot here to explain. Likable. Do people enjoy being around you? Do people enjoy engaging with you? Are you a likable person? That doesn't mean all the time. We all have our bad days and moments. Are you likable generally? Number 2, are you coachable? Now, I want to break down coachable into 2 ways that you become coachable. Number 1, on instruction. So anytime you're new at something, or you're developing a new skill or training, then you are going to be instructed. And so instruction, if you receive instruction well, some people just aren't good students. They don't like being instructed at all. They're just not good at it. They got some personal stuff going on, or they got some insecurities, whatever it is. And they're not coachable because they don't take instruction well. Number 2 is correction. Everybody's going to have to be corrected from time to time. You did something wrong. You said something you shouldn't have said. Didn't handle the situation right. You got to be corrected. Do you handle it well? Do you get better? Do you suck it up? Take it and get better. So are you coachable? That's number 2. Number 3, are you reliable? Simply put here, if you say your yes is your yes, it needs to be your yes. If you say your no is your no, it needs to be your no. People can count on your word, and then people can count on your contribution. You say you're going to show up, you're there. You say you're going to do something, you do it. Are you reliable? Number four, are you adaptable? This, incidentally, is now one of the most sought-after skills from hiring managers, according to LinkedIn. Adaptable, very simple. Are you open to change? That's an attitude. And then do you move forward well with change? So do you accept it with an attitude of, okay, I get it, change is coming, I can't deny it, got to do it, and then I actually execute on the change? Are you adaptable? You don't just say, I'm okay with it, you do it. And then number five, are you honorable? This speaks to integrity. This is integrity. Honesty, treating others appropriately. This is a step above likable. This is honorable. This is about respecting others, and this is about being honest, a person of integrity. Those five qualities, you can develop those, and if you develop them into sharpened skills, woo, watch out. People are going to knock on your door because they want to promote good people. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Kristen in Jersey City, New Jersey. Kristen, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey there, Ken Coleman. How are you doing today?
I am living the dream, Kristen. What's going on?
Well, this is my question. So I've been in my job for about 2 years so far, and I'm in a unique situation where I am the only person. I'm a team of one. So I'm supporting all types of needs within my company, but I don't have any support or any help. And now there's talk that we might be merging with another company. So that's going to be another company that we'll end up having to support, that I'll end up having to support. And I like what I do, but I really feel like I'm being taken advantage of. So my question is for you, should you stick it out until you find your sweet spot, until you find your passion, or do you look for something else in the meantime that's a little bit more sustainable?
I would look for something else immediately, and I would stick it out until we find something better.
Sure.
And by the way, while I'm sticking it out in the search, I'm also going to sit down with my leader and go, hey, don't say anything about how you feel taken advantage of. Just simply say, hey, I'm at my max right now. I'm supporting all these different people. I know you know that, but I think I'm doing a disservice to the company and to me if I continue to try to do this in over recent times, and give them some facts. Don't give them opinion, give them facts. This has been added to my plate. This is added to my plate. It's added more time. It's all this. And again, I'm able to do it, but now it's creeping into more time, and that's starting to affect me, and I want to keep doing a good job. And so I'm not coming here with a complaint. I'm coming here going, I need your help as my leader. I'm at my max capacity, and we're going, we need to figure out how to fix that. Let's see how they react to that when you've got a spirit and a posture of humility and gratitude, but also, hey, I'm just trying to let you know I'm maxed out. I need your help.
Sure.
See how they react to that. A good leader goes, oh, thank you for raising your hand. I'm sorry this is this way. We're going to deal with this. And then you actually see results. Let's see how that plays out while we're looking for something else. That's the approach. Let's see what happens. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Listen, folks, we talk a lot on the show about making your next career move and taking the next step toward meaningful work. But I know it can be pretty hard to think about taking a step forward when you're stressed out about money in the here and now. Ramsey Plus will show you how to budget every single dollar of your income so you can use it to its full potential, plus so much more. And here's the best part. Right now, you can try Ramsey Plus for 30 days completely free. If you're in and you want to start Ramsey Plus for free, text Ken Plus to 33789. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you discover what you were born to do and then make a plan so that you can get there. I think a lot of people have discovered it, and they don't even realize it, or they just have kind of forgotten to acknowledge it. It's just scary. So the back half of that sentence is really where we spend a lot of our time. Now, some of you need to discover. We've got a process to help you get clear. That's stage one of the seven stages up to your professional pinnacle, which is to give yourself away. I mean, you're working for impact only. The income's there. But so many people, I think, have a pretty clear idea if they uncover it or just acknowledge that it's down there, it's been there, maybe over in the deep, dusty corners of their mind. But the reason they'll acknowledge it is because acknowledging it forces them to go, how do I get there? And the how I get there, well, that's scary stuff. I get it. I've been there. That's why I take my experience, what I've learned, and I can apply it to your journey. Give me a shot. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. One of the ways that you can get there is ZipRecruiter.com. I'm telling you, we've partnered with them. I'm so excited. Their candidates are three times more likely to get hired. Here's why. They got all these companies that are paying them for talent. That's you. You sign up for free. It doesn't cost you a nickel. Once you sign up at ZipRecruiter.com, they start recruiting for you. They start pitching you to companies. And when a company gets interested, here's the best part of their technology. The company contacts you directly. No middleman. Boom, you're in. Are you kidding me? You just went from, well, I've been applying, and I just can't get through the system, to someone reached out to you and said, apply. Now you're in. And now use the tools that I'm giving you. So it's another part of your arsenal. Go to ZipRecruiter.com right now and get started on the job search. They take all of the yucky, sucky out of it, and they make it efficient and effective. ZipRecruiter.com. Go right now. All right, speaking of going somewhere right now, how about the city of brotherly love? Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is where Tiffany joins us. Tiffany, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk to you today. I'm looking to start a side hustle, and I'm having a hard time deciding where to take it and how to define it. I want to utilize my main skills of organization, research, time management, and to kind of help small business owners organize their businesses, projects, and basically help them figure out what to tackle first to get their best rate of return.
Okay.
I know a lot of high-octane entrepreneurs that have like a million ideas, but they're saddled with trying to run their businesses at the same time. So I just kind of want to reach out and help them tackle, like, say, if they have three or four projects on their mind, give them the best option first and to start tackling that.
Have you done?
I'm having a hard time finding a mentor for that.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. What do you need in a mentor specifically? Or what do you think you need?
Basically somebody to kind of give me an idea of what this kind of service could charge for this kind of like help and what it kind of looks like. I've talked to project managers, project coordinators, business analysts. They kind of like, I don't really think that's the speed you're at for this.
What does that
mean? I'm just trying to find somebody that might be in this space.
Yeah. So somebody who's basically a consultant for small business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, yeah. let's, I mean, that's as broad as I can keep it, but I don't know that mm-hmm. it's any more specific than that because you're essentially describing a consulting service that you would like to provide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for that, I wouldn't know if I'm technically qualified to do that.
Is that what you meant? No, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Is that what you meant a minute ago when you said that you've talked to different types of people and they said that mm-hmm. they're not sure that's your speed? I wanted you to explain that to me. What does that mean?
I guess I was more like, I'm not sure if it's my speed with like the services that project managers technically, because I'm not necessarily looking to help them through the project, but just kind of coach them in the right direction.
Yeah. So that's the issue is you've got to mm-hmm. get, I think you've got to get better at defining that. I understand mm-hmm. what you're saying, mm-hmm. but if you start pitching yourself that way, to me, it's too nebulous is a fancy word. What's a more regular word? It's too fuzzy. It needs to be clearer. So let me put you on the spot. Let's say I got a friend who's got a small business, and let's say that their business is specialty products. You can print your logo on anything, and let's say they got a shop mm-hmm. of about 15 people.
Mm-hmm.
and I call you up and I say, Tiffany, my friend needs some help. The biggest pain point that she has is people, their processes aren't really well defined, and everybody feels like they're just spinning plates. And they know their core business. They have no problem with leads. Their problem is efficiency, to try to be able to get more leads but not hire more people, and they just got broken processes. What would you say is the fix? I put you in touch with them. What would you say? Knowing that, and they'd go, how could you help me, Tiffany? What would you say?
Mm-hmm. And they don't have any ideas of their own. They're just kind of looking for new ideas.
Yeah, I'm not helping you. What would you say?
Yeah, so that's the kind of the big question is, like, I'm big into they're trying to gain traction without having to add on more people, just maybe kind of fix their systems.
Mm-hmm. So my point is I put you to the test, and I know you're on the radio live, and I get all that. Okay, so it's kind of not fair, but you got to be able to go, got it. Well, first thing I'm going to do is we're going to sit down and we're going to look at where you're spending too much time. You need to have a pitch. You need to have like a methodology. So for instance, if somebody asked me on television, hey, Ken, how do you help these callers when they call in? I'm going to be able to go instantly to, well, we're going to always see where they are in the seven stages. There are seven stages, but if they're in the get clear stage, I'm going to always come back to getting clear, because getting clear sometimes is just an exercise, and I'm going to go through talent, passion, mission, and I've got a plan. I got a methodology that I can help anybody. You need that. And I'm okay with the mentor. I love that this is the proximity principle. You've got to actually work really hard to find somebody who has a consulting business that helps small businesses run better. I mean, that's just the end of the day. You got to find somebody who does that. You got to pick their brain and see what they'll do for you. Mentoring, I don't know if they'll mentor you or not, but certainly help you with starter range on what you would charge per hour. You know what I mean? And you could probably do some more research and get a little bit more information. You know, are you charging? You're probably charging by the half day and the day, it would be my guess. And then if you get somebody where, you know, they want to use you every month and you do a 6-month contract, and then you say, well, you know, my day rate is, and I'm making this up, my day rate's $2,000. Okay. And if we do 4 days in a month, that would normally be $8,000. But if you're signing a 6-month deal, I'll do it for six. I mean, at some point, that's how you're going to do all this. I can at least give you some ideas on how that's going to work, having done consulting. And I do consulting right now for companies that want me to come in and help them with their employee retention and everything else. So I've got a day rate and a half day rate. All right. And so you got to figure that out. So that's really good. But while you're trying to gather that rate information, you need to really think through, what's my 60-second pitch on my process of consulting? What makes me unique so that no matter what the business is, could be a hair salon, could be a small fast food restaurant that's starting to go online with orders, could be the specialty products. It doesn't matter. You've got a process that a business owner could hear you say it and they go, oh gosh, that sounds very effective. Yes, I need more. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, definitely.
That's what you're missing. So go do your homework on that. Go find somebody who can help you on the day rates. And then I would also recommend that you begin the process of doing some of this for free so that you can deliver some results. And you've got not just the confidence of doing it, but the confidence of others, so that you feel really confident sharing, hey, these people, I help them, I help them, I help them. You got to build a repertoire, if you will. This is the Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show continues from our Nashville Ramsey Solutions Studios. And we continue to bring you clarity, confidence, and courage. You're going to need all three if you're going to live and work on purpose. And that's what this show is about, helping you discover what you were created to do and then come up with a plan to make that dream a reality. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. 747-2577 if you want to jump in. By the way, reminder, some of you are in really tough situations, maybe even desperate, but you're nervous to call because you don't want to share your name and location. I get it. And I want to remind you, we do this on a regular basis. We understand the sensitivity of some of these calls, but I want you to feel free to have a place, a safe place to call and be anonymous. So you can change your name, location, even the type of work you do. And just describe your situation. If you're in a very toxic situation or tough family and financial situation that may be keeping you from stepping out, I just want to afford that opportunity. We do it all the time. So don't delay. If you feel like we can help, give us a shot. Spokane, Washington is where Mike joins us. Mike, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how you doing today?
I'm living the dream, Mike. What's going on?
So I feel like I've been living the dream this last month. After I got out of the Navy, I started as a framer making $15 an hour. Now I work doing a lot better job in a job field that closely relates to what I did in the Navy for almost $22 an hour, which kind of brings up my question is, I'm at a point where I really don't know where to go from here. So it's a Union City job that has a glass ceiling, that unless I go back to school for 4 years, I really can't do much more in growth. It's more of just like waiting and doing stuff. And I love the job. The job is great. It's everything that I did in the military without all of the, military like stuff in it.
Okay.
And I work 4 days a week. It's great. But right now my wife's going to school full time for dental hygiene and she'll be done in 3 years. Once she gets a job, the plan is for me to get out of the workforce and go back to school full time.
For what reason?
And I'm trying to, so I joined the Navy for one reason only, and that was to pay for schooling so I could become a youth pastor and actually pursue that passion without having to, like what most youth pastors have to do, sadly, is quit after 2 years because they can't afford to be in that job field because of the debt.
Okay.
My GI Bill cover for it. And I only have to do it for a year. I'll get my certificate. But I'm just trying to figure out what I should do because my job field, I could potentially go in like 6 months to a year and go work for another company and make more. But I'm nervous that doing that again in like another year and then just quitting and going back to school, if I try to go back into the job force, they're going to look at my resume and see that I change jobs every 6 months to a year and not want to hire me because I won't stay there. And so I'm just trying to figure out what I should do next career-wise here at this job.
No, I think you're thinking about that the wrong way. You're going to go to school to become a youth pastor, and then you're going to go apply at a church and become a full-time youth pastor, correct?
That is the plan. I've talked to a handful of youth pastors and pastors before, and this is actually a question I also want to ask KO because I know he was a youth pastor for a while. That may just not be being full-time youth ministry just may not be what God calls me to do. I don't know his plan. I can't see the future, sadly. I wish I could.
Well, wait a second. So I feel like this is kind of turning a little bit. So the way you described it a minute ago sounded like you had been called to be in a youth pastor. Now you're going, well, I don't know if I'm called to be full time. So when you said that a minute ago, did you mean for sure being a youth pastor, but not for sure whether it's full time, maybe it's bivocational or maybe it's volunteer? Well, explain that.
Yeah. More of like that to where it's like, you know, youth ministry, I would love to do it. And I like, that's what I want to do. Where my wife is like, once she gets home from school and she finds a job, I'm to quit my job and I'm going to school full time to finally go do this. But talking with a bunch of youth pastors and how some churches will look at it and be like, well, if I can do it voluntarily and still serve and be that youth pastor and be that guidance, that counselor, that person that youth are able to turn to and not have to worry about the financial part. Like,
yeah, but you can't. But you can't do that. You cannot be a full-time youth pastor and have a full-time career at something else. You just can't. So you're
right.
I know I'm right. And I also think that you were on fire to do this, and you started talking to a couple of youth pastors, and they started looking at what you make, and they started talking about how they're not making, you know, what you make now. And they're like, man, it's really tough. And you heard all those tough stories. And on one hand, I don't begrudge them telling you what, the, you know, that it's not a well-paid position, because it's not. Unless you're at a big, big church, and you know, in that stage, you can make pretty good money. But you're getting confused by your brain, because you're starting to go, oh, I got a wife, and eventually I want to have kids, and I really feel called to be a youth pastor, but yeah, maybe I'm going to try the volunteer part-time part. Well, guess what? You can't be a part-time youth pastor and hold down another full-time job. Can't do it. So that's going to shoot your whole, well, I'm going to have stability and then ministry at the same time. And I've already proven to you, and you agree, that you can't be a full-time youth pastor and have a full-time career. So that leaves the volunteer thing, and that's going to be at a much smaller church, which is fine, but it's volunteer only. Yeah. But you got to decide. But I don't hear that. I hear that you're called to be a youth pastor. That's why you're going back to school for it. You're going all in to then come out and kind of be part-time? Something's not adding up. So I'm going to put you to the test. What's really going on? If I diagnose this, that you were on fire and now all of a sudden you're cooling because of the provider muscle in your body kind of flaring a little bit?
Being in the Navy, I did for 9 years. I was the sole provider. And with my skill set, I was a nuclear power plant operator. And like I've done so many different things that finding a good paying job is not hard. My wife's going to school for dental hygiene, and it's going to pay well. But she, the only job I've ever had, the most 8-9 years we've been married, she's only had a cashier job. And
so the answer is yes. You're giving me a really, you're giving me a long-winded answer. The answer is yes. Your provider and your fear over money is what's driving this. Your heart's telling you go be a full-time youth pastor. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Your head's telling you, whoa, slow down. Maybe you'd be part-time guy.
Pretty much, yeah, that's exactly. And I'm trying to figure out, like, how do I get past that and still.
Let me ask you, I want you to fill in the blank for this very well-known scripture. Without blank, it is impossible to please God. Fill in the missing word.
Oh, man. About faith.
Yeah. This is a conversation not between you and Ken Coleman, but between you and God. I've already made the point that you called me to make. You feel a call to full-time youth pastor ministry. To me, you cannot ignore that call. If you want to do part-time, that's fine. But that's between you and God. God's going to provide for you. You still got 3 years, if I heard this right, before your wife's out of school. So you've got 3 years where you can keep moving up the corporate ladder. So I want to address that concern. Nobody cares that you've changed jobs every 6 months. I think you're being aggressive. I don't think you're going to change jobs every 6 months. But if you get an opportunity to move up the ladder and you get paid more money, that doesn't make you look like a flake. It makes you look like a freaking rock star. People wanted you. I got promoted each time. So who cares if I change jobs three times in 3 years? If you're getting promoted and moving up the ladder, people will see it as that. But this is all about you and God right now. What does God want you to do? What do you believe God wants you to do? He's going to take care of the finances. And a dental hygienist makes good money, and you've got 3 years to make good money and save money. And maybe you get after it and you get a youth pastor job at a larger church where you make a pretty good salary. I've told you everything that I can tell you. This is now between you and God. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you get clear so you can confidently step out on the path to your dreams and work like no one else. Work on purpose. Life too short for a dead-end job. Life too short for a job you're just okay with. That gives you a decent check. You know there's more. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Emily, who joins us now in Houston, Texas. Emily, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I've got a question about, I'm in a position to hire. I'm hiring, looking for employees. And how do I handle the situation when I find out from an applicant after the offer is done that, look, the salary that we are offering will not cover their debts. It would be a bad situation for them personally to accept a position.
Instincts are right. I absolutely think that is the right decision to just be honest with them and go, hey, I've offered you what I can offer for this position, and this may seem weird to you. And then you just can give them however much context you want to give them about why you believe what you believe. But the reality is that you hiring them would keep them behind the eight ball, and you're happy to hire them only if they recognize they've got to A, make some big changes, and B, probably work another job. But see, I wouldn't even go that far with them if you feel like them working another job is going to affect their performance. And, you know, that's the only way this works. You and I both know it. They'd have to make more money some other way, right?
Yeah.
Well, you have to weigh that and go, how does that affect them doing the job for me? And, you know, this is all about your comfort level, but your instincts are absolutely right. I would not hire them if you know for a fact that they're so much in debt that this salary isn't going to help them. Now, again, the other way out of that is if you hiring them and you felt like they were going to come in and crush it and they were going to start making changes in their life. You can't make them do this, but you felt like they know it and they're going to work a second job and this job is going to help them dig out. But again, that's not your responsibility and you don't need to make that decision on hope and heartache.
Mm-hmm.
But your instincts are absolutely right. Because that's going to affect, if they leave you in 2 months because they realize they're swimming, they're drowning, then you're starting all over again, and that's lost time and money.
Right, exactly. We're a Christian nonprofit and ministry, and we're hiring staff attorneys. And so, you know, I've got all these bright-eyed applicants who are like, this is my dream job, this is what I've been looking for while I went to law school. And I'm like, I know that. I mean, I understand that. You've got student loan debt. Like, you need to stay at your law firm.
Yeah.
And pay off your debt and come see me later.
Yep. Love that.
Is that appropriate to say? Because I did once.
This gets tricky. I think it is, but I don't know that it is. You could consult an HR attorney, you know, an employment expert to see if it's okay to say those exact words. I don't think that's inappropriate, you know, but I will tell you that federal law changes all the time on this and state laws and stuff like that. Just to cover your tracks, because you are interviewing attorneys, and if somebody gets offended about that and comes after you, it would not hurt for you to consult an employment lawyer and say, hey, if I were to say this, is that going to get me in any potential hot water? I would just find out. Other than that, you don't have to tell them why. You can just say, hey, you're not the right fit. So you don't have to tell them that reasoning either. So that's the safe route. Don't tell them you don't have to get into the debt thing. Just go, you know what, I've chosen somebody else. And you wait until you find a lawyer who's not swimming in law school debt.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
It does.
Don't over-explain. We don't have to. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, I love your heart. That's smart, by the way, too. I love your heart and your head, because your heart's what's driving you on this, but your head is in line too, because you shouldn't. It's just a bad hire for you. They may be a rock star, but if their life is falling apart because of the pressure, that's not helping you do what you got to do.
You're exactly right. You know, we were babysit followers, we're FPU coordinators, and I just
thank you for that.
I can't in one hand, you know, do that. And then lead these people out of this is actually a personally bad decision for you. I can't do that.
Yep. Good for you. But again, remember, it's not just personal. This is a wonderful professional decision for you as a leader. And I applaud you. And thank you again for being a coordinator. You all are the men and women that are on the front lines for us at Ramsey Solutions. And we are big, big fans of our coordinator. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Roanoke, Virginia is where we go next, where Austin joins us. Austin, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm living the dream. What's going on?
Well, good. I'm glad to hear. Yeah, I guess I just had a quick question. I've started a new job. It's my first IT job. I kind of made a career field switch post-pandemic, I guess, if we're post-pandemic at this point.
Yeah.
I've been with the company for close to 90 days, and all the, you know, the happy glitters are starting to dial back and starting to really learn people's personalities. And my boss is a good guy, but I'm learning that he's got a lot of follow-through issues, maybe is the way to put it. He says, hey, here's this project, go run with it. I start running with it. I come back to him. He's like, actually put it on hold for a week. And it's becoming very reoccurring. And I guess just how do I deal with that? How do I approach that? How do I come into the workplace without being continuously disappointed by this hope of, you know, getting to excel and do good things for our company?
Well, when he tells you to put it
shut down.
Yeah, I got you. So when he puts, so he tells you to run with something and then you come back in and report, hey, here's where I'm at. And he goes, pause. What's on the other end of that? What does he say? Hey, I need you over here now. Something more important over here. What's the rest of that sentence?
It's usually let's put a pin in it for a few weeks. And then, it turns into another, hey, if you want to run with this, okay, let's put a pin in that. And it kind of just repeats. And then when I start coming back to things we put a pin in a few weeks ago, he's like, let's still hold off on that for a while.
Yeah, but
kind of just this.
But he's not telling you why?
Sometimes he says that's just not our biggest priority right now. And I'm like, oh, okay. I guess that makes sense. Which, you know, I'm like, why would you say run with it if it's not a priority? And other times he'll say, you know, let's just hold off because, you know, we need to learn more. And I'm like, all right, I'll research it, bring it back. Here's the research. He's like, okay, I'll get to it. And then, you know, nothing.
All right. But my point is, and I get the frustration, but I'm trying to help you see this from an objective. I'm listening into this and I'm going, when he tells you to put a pin in it and hold it, is it because he feels like there's another priority and he points you to that one? Or is he just randomly going, oh, let's find something else for you to do?
I think it's more of the latter, because there are other projects I work on and, you know, I'll come forth and say, hey, I did this. And he's like, okay, cool. Good job. Project's over. And then he'll say, run with this one and run and never mind. Don't do that now. And, you know, work on this project. And
so I guess what I'm getting at is how do you deal with it? It sounds to me like we've got a leader who is very fly from the seat of his pants. He's reading the room. He's kind of dealing with what's directly in front of him and he's not thinking long term, not thinking very strategically. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think so. And I think he's trying to think strategically. I think he's trying to give me stuff to do. But then when I start doing it, he's like, well, wait, maybe that was the wrong decision. Don't do that now.
Okay.
It's like, okay, but, you know, that's fine. But how do you deal with that?
Well, it depends on how long you want to be there. Like, do you need this gig right now to get the experience to step up the ladder? And so we might be identifying very quickly in 90 days that this is not a ladder for you long term, but it's a short term ladder. You got to deal with this to say, hey, there are frustrations in the workplace, but I got to look at the pros. I got to look at the cons. Here's my homework for you. This is good old fashioned pros or cons. What are the pros about this job? What are the cons? If the cons outweigh the pros, you've only been there 90 days. You're not going to look like a job hopper. If you find something better and it's a clear step up on your resume, don't stay in something that's a dead end just because you're worried that, well, you haven't been there long enough to leave. That's silly. That's not true. This is good old-fashioned pros and cons because there are some pros to this and there are cons. You need to get clear on that and then move on regardless of where you move to based on that. Hey, my time's almost up, but remember, you matter and you do have what it takes. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.